Hey, Mark, you're live.
Hey, Mark, this is your meeting. All right, thank you, Commissioner. Counselors, we're here to present our fourth quarterly report, financial report. Just a introduction to this. We are presenting, these are preliminary numbers. We've done our soft close on our year end. We haven't gone through the audit process yet, so that will be happening over the next couple of months. It's possible that there are changes during that time period. If there are and they're significant, then we'll update our quarterly report accordingly. You'll see as you read through the quarterly report, it says preliminary on it. So basically, these numbers are preliminary. We feel pretty good about where we're at. We don't know of anything out there that would cause a material adjustment at this point, but it's possible. So we're going to follow our standard format that we have in our quarterly report. I'm going to turn the time over to Tom Scullion, our senior management analyst, and he'll walk you through the introduction, the sales tax, and some leading indicators, and we'll go from there. So, all right, Tom?
Okay. Basically, like Mark said, it's the same format. The leading indicators are well, let's just might as well move right in. Building permits are doing okay. They were up in 2014 over 2013. Residential permits were up about 14%, and the average valuation of the permits was also up. Commercial permits were up about 22%, about 1,400 in 2014. Compared to about 1,200 in 2013. The valuation went down, though, and we're kind of looking into that. We're talking to community development to get some ideas, and one of the ideas was potentially that a lot more commercial permits are for tenant improvements as opposed to actual new construction, so it's a lower valuation. So they went down from 370. The average valuation in 2013 was about $378,000. In 2014, it was down to around $300,000. And actually, in the fourth quarter of 2014, it was down around $175,000. So it dropped significantly in that quarter. Moving on to retail sales, the taxable retail sales, it was a pretty good year for that. They were up about 10.5% over the year. So taxable retail sales, and just talking about the basic 0.5% tax, there was about $6 billion in sales that were subject to that we got revenue from. And it sounds like a large change, but most of that was forecast in the budget. In fact, as of year-end, we were only about 101 or 102% of budget.
So you said it was how much? 10.5%?
Yeah.
And I would think 10.5% increase in annual sales tax to me sounds like a huge number. Why do we consider that to be moderate, slightly up?
Well, mostly because, as I said, it was anticipated in the budget, so it's kind of expected.
Well, anticipation versus so this is measurement of, because in one case we can look at this and say how accurate is our weather forecast and say, well, we're going to have to, we're just kind of far. Mm-hmm. And rather, I'm not so interested. We already have really good confidence in the weather forecasting ability here. It really has to do with the overall weather. It is really sunshiny, but you predicted it was going to be sunshiny, so therefore it's cloudy.
Well, and Counselor, one of the reasons why we're still we're optimistic, but we're still cautiously optimistic is because we're coming off a very low base. As we're coming out of recession, we're coming out of probably the lowest base we've seen in years. So the last 2 years we've had, I think we had 7.5% and now 10.5% over the years coming off of a low base. Now if we reestablish our base where we were pre-recession and continue with the 10% increase, I think that arrow would turn straight up. So
what would be a straight up arrow? What are the thresholds?
This is an arbitrary.
It's a bit subjective.
So. Okay, regardless of the arrow, yeah. What would be a good indicator? If 10.5% is not really good news,
well, I think it is. No, we're not. Yeah, we're not saying it's not good news.
I'm glad that you're very conservative.
Yeah.
But I also want to make sure that we're somehow understating what I would naturally think is just really good news. 10.5%
revenue over 1 year.
And if you look at the, you know, you break this down into a little bit more detail, you know, the city of Vancouver, they're looking at a 10.8% increase compared to the incorporated areas of 10.1% increase. So, I mean, the county overall is doing well. Within the city, they did a little bit better than we did in the unincorporated areas. So it's all relative. I mean, it's the county's rising as a whole. There's you know, still relative differences. But it is good. I mean, we have a green arrow pointed up. That's pretty good for us.
I think I understand your chart to say when the arrow is pointing flat sideways, that's right where you estimate that we would be. And that estimate would include an estimated rise. So when it went above where you estimated, that's in addition to.
I think that's fair.
Okay. Yeah. In other words, it really is a deviation. The arrows indicate whether or not we're doing better or worse than what it was predicted.
One other point about retail sales tax is that in looking quarter over quarter, the fourth quarter was only up about 2.8%, which really isn't very good. The fourth quarter should be huge considering the holidays and everything else.
That's
kind of why we're moderating that.
Okay. Are these cumulative?
Oh, yeah. Well,
these are cumulative mm-hmm. for the year versus straight fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm. It's year over year. It's a 12-month over 12-month figure.
Construction as a percentage of retail sales tax actually went down slightly. Well, it was up over the second. We're talking about third quarter again because that's the latest data that we have. Third quarter was a slight increase over second quarter, but it was down compared to the third quarter of 2013. So construction as a percentage of retail sales tax was a little over 30% in the third quarter of 2013 for the 12 months ended that third quarter, and it was about 20. A little bit below 30% at 29.5%.
I'm thinking that you're offering a lot more detail than what we see here. We see no specifics, no numbers whatsoever, no trend graphs, no real data up there at all. Mm-hmm. But you're offering verbally some of those things fill in the blanks.
It's all in the quarterly report.
Okay.
And we're just highlighting them.
And I'm thankful that you have a quarterly report, but it would be so much more meaningful to put these with the trend graphs for the year or whatever perspective of time you would actually look at those so that we actually see what you're conveying verbally. And I love graphics, I love trend graphs.
And we do include some of those. Yeah, we do include some of those. As you're aware, we do those for sales tax and other things. Everything is in here. And again, we're just trying to highlight it. So as you go through and if something, you know, perks your interest, then we can go through and if you'd like more detail, then we'll give it to you.
Those leading indicators, I'm interested in all of those leading indicators to kind of have a look at a perspective, a trend graph that would help us to know where were we, where are we, and kind of in our mind will kind of guess at what that trend would indicate for the future. So you're being very efficient in compacting that. But I feel alarmed without actually seeing the data that backs up these generalized statements.
Okay. We'll work on incorporating that into the presentation, how much of that we can put in.
Thank you.
Before we go on, do we have a copy of the PowerPoint or B, our copies, those extra three copies of the report, are those for the commissioner?
Absolutely.
So do we have a copy of the PowerPoint?
That is also published on the website. All of this.
I'm talking about for the purposes of me being able to make notes in here now while we're talking. We don't have a copy of the PowerPoint.
No. If you would like one, we can provide that to you.
So in the past, when you got to the reports and that, we were reading the reports and not paying attention to what you were sharing.
Well, I'm sure you can relearn your practice.
It was those other guys.
Great comment.
If you would like us to send you one ahead of time, in the future we'll do that. We've never had that request before. So.
We're really good students.
Okay. I like to make the notes relevant to the document at the time. So it would be helpful, and I'm sure you can.
We'll do that.
Moving on to home sales, they were a little bit better in 2014 than in 2013. There was actually an additional point that is actually in the RMLS note. They noted that we actually have more properties that are ready for, but haven't been started. They're in the first phase. We have a lot of things that are supposedly available for sale, but there hasn't been any construction yet, so they're not ready for occupancy. So that's part of the reason that the housing inventory went down again to about 3.4 months, I believe it is now, in December. So the median home price has gone up since 2013. It was $223,013, $244,000 at the end of 14. It stayed pretty much flat, though, through 2014. The third quarter, it actually dropped about $1,000 from the third quarter to the fourth quarter.
Tom, as you're walking through those, does the little spiral-bound notebook that you have walk through the train graphs as you walk? Mm-hmm. Can you get some else so we can track with you? Because if there's a test at the end of this, all the numbers you're rattling off verbally, I'm going to fail. I want to see the graphs that you are somehow conveying in a phrase. If it's in the book, can you guys smile and let us see them?
Sure, Counselor. If you'd like us to do it that way, that's fine.
Yeah.
So don't get ahead.
Should it take two requests for that?
No.
It should not take two requests.
I don't know what the history has been. I don't know what other previous boards have done. And maybe they just wanted to scoot past this and just get it over with. Nothing could be further from the makeup of this board. We are really interested. And the numbers by themselves, even verbally just communicated that with a little reference point, that a little bit better than this, a little bit worse than that, mean nothing. Nothing. The only thing that, and I think the purpose for a meeting like this is to give us situation awareness, perspective. Where are we compared to where we were? We will not get this with the format that you have presented here. They're completely blind. So whatever the history has been up to this point, let's change it. And let's make sure that the intent behind this meeting is to turn on the lights so we understand on each of these leading indicators, we can see that trend so that we understand where it's, so we don't need someone to interpret it for us to say it's been a little bit better, a little bit worse. We can look at the graph. Mm-hmm. We can all understand what that is.
I think even going one step further, we'll provide those to you prior to the meeting, the day before, so that it'll give you an opportunity to look through it ahead of time. If that's what the council would like, we have them available. In the past, again, we haven't had that request. We do have them available ahead of time, usually the day before. Sometimes our fear is if we distribute them the day before, they don't get here when we're talking about it as well. So, again, different group. We're more than willing to work with whatever request that you have.
Well, thank you. And we don't want to be the keepers of the vaulted data. Mm-hmm. For our inside information. We want to make sure that the citizens out there have equal access to this.
And they've always had, this has always been published. It's available. It's through the transparency page, you can directly link to them. So all of that is always done. So.
Well, what I'd be able to do is, and thank you very much for that transparency page. It's great. Mm-hmm. And I'm still thankful for your leadership in putting that together. I would like to be able to also make sure that we publish on the grid this data so that it's one click, there it is.
And it links directly to it.
Yeah.
It's already, we already do that.
We provide a link to your office.
Okay, that's good. Can you pick one of those that you've already covered so far and point us to the page here so we can see what graph it is that you're relating to?
All of these leading indicators are the first three pages of the report.
Okay, let's pick one.
You pick one, Counselor. Which one would you like?
About the retail sales.
Okay, it's page three. Very first page. And there you're able to look at the trend over the last five quarters, or year and 15 months basically, and you can see the direction. And then the commentary below explains the numbers. So.
So the top, the very top graph there, and you also have, okay. So that looks good. Each of these things are probably following a format that has been traditionally developed, where you've got magnitude going from left to right, and then time going from top to bottom. I think most trend graphs, I'm thinking normally you've got your magnitude vertical, and your time axis going horizontal. I don't want to fine tune it, but I'm thankful that this is understandable here, but I'd love to be able to one-on-one with you work afterwards to see what we can do to actually make this potentially consider some other format improvements to it. At least maybe you'd suggest something better. So from here I see January 13 to December 14, so I see only a single year here.
Yeah, each bar represents a quarter.
Yeah, but I don't see a long-term graph that gives us perspective, let's say from 2008 through whatever, because trends and leading indicators are, when you shorten them up, I still lose the situation awareness of where are we in perspective to where we've been.
And this particular area of retail sales, there's a graph later on that will show you a much longer perspective.
Is it in the book?
Yeah, and we'll show it up here as well.
Okay.
So we haven't got
so
it yet.
Okay. Thank you.
The current unemployment rate, which is on page 6, is 7.2% as of the end of 2014. It was it's a little bit down from the end of 2013 when it was 7.4%. Scott Bailey, our regional economist, indicates that it's probably not as low as it might be because the economy is improving and a lot of people are getting back into the workforce. So, as far as land use permits, they're down a little bit in 2014 over 2013, about 3.5%, 703 permits in 2014. The revenue, though, for the land use review operation, that is actually in the back. That might make Mr. McCauley late for his workout.
I've already written it off.
The page we're going. Yeah, it's on page 41.
And again, that'll show you a longer trend. And it might even have the bars in the format that you like.
Okay. Yeah, that's looking good.
So that. That's basically land use permits. We're going to move on to the next. This is a variation on the unemployment chart. Basically, what we do here is we take Clark County's unemployment at 7.2% at the end of the year and compare it to the state of Washington, which was 6.6% at the state of the year, at the end of the year. And then we also remove the Seattle metro area from the state of Washington, because that's a better comparison. The Seattle metro area only has a 4.2% unemployment rate, so they're kind of an outlier compared to everything else. So as you can see, the green line, actually when you take out Seattle without the state, is about 8.5%. So we're actually not doing too bad comparatively.
And if you look at, this is one of the first times that blue and the green line really across. Usually we've been kind of slightly above the state average without the Seattle metro area, and this time
you can see there's a real differential there. So.
Yeah, and how significant is that? I see that it looks like the long-term history from actually going back to 2007, we've been lagging behind and not so big compared to the rest of the...
Yeah, the recessionary impact in Clark County was much greater than it was statewide. And a lot of that is due to our heavy dependence on the construction industry.
So we're now better than the state average minus those.
Minus the options.
Great.
Okay.
And another, this is again a long-term trend. So I hope, Councilor Menard, I hope you see we do cover these. Our introduction is a little bit more of an overview, but the information is in there.
This is on page 8, and it talks about sales tax for the 8 largest counties in the state. And we actually performed better than most of the other counties, but as you can see, most of them did fairly well. With Spokane County at 9.5%, Snohomish 9.2%, King County 8.5%. So things are doing better in general around the state.
And back to your comment earlier, King County with an 8.5% increase, if you look at our sales tax, theirs is 10 times ours. So an 8.5% increase in King County is millions of dollars, whereas it may be demand.
In other words, we're in the blue there.
Yes.
So it looks like this is the first time in since the beginning of your graph here that we are better than all the other references.
Yes.
That sounds good. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is a comparison between incorporated areas of the county and unincorporated areas sales tax growth over the last
looks like 5 years.
5 years. And this is also on page 8. And it shows that we, of the 10.5% sales tax growth that we had during the year, 10.8% was in incorporated areas, 10.1%, not a very large difference, was in unincorporated areas.
So I guess in large part the result that we've had in the unincorporated areas, it mirrors where the county's going as a whole. I mean, you don't see a real significant differential between what is happening in the incorporated versus the unincorporated areas. Recently, it looks like, for whatever reason, and this is largely driven by Vancouver, of course, because they're so much larger than the smaller cities, they've had a little bit of a spike the last 2 quarters. For whatever reason.
I would think that, rightfully so, the incorporated areas should be doing better than the unincorporated areas.
Yes. And a lot of that, to be honest, is driven by car sales. If you look at what's happening over the last 12 months in the auto industry, and where are all the dealerships, they're all in the incorporated areas.
So now I believe it's over to you.
Yeah. Last time we talked about sales tax, and we passed the amendment to our fund balance policy about stabilization. So 2015 is the first time that we'll actually, I guess, see kind of the fruits of our labors in getting this put into place. The way this works is we have in our adopted budget what we forecast our sales tax growth to be. And then, based on what we've written into the amendment, anything over that growth, we use a formula to split it. And again, this is just on our basic sales tax. It doesn't have to do with our specialty sales tax. We split it, and then we're able to set that aside. We use it as a stabilization fund so that as sales tax fluctuate, go up and down, if we see them drop off, there's a trigger in there within the policy that says we can use this to maintain our level of services. And so this is the first time, it won't be until July till we have our first look to see what this really is, because we evaluate 6 months at a time. And so I just wanted to kind of remind everyone that this is now in effect. When we do our second quarter report in July, we'll be able to take a look at this and see what the impact of this policy was.
Great. So. Very good.
Oh, sorry.
Very thankful to that policy because the concern. financial conservativeness that holds us back from spending what may be coming in and making sure that we solidify things with any revenue that is exceeding what we were expectations. I'm so thankful for the conservative makeup of your team.
Thank you. This is just some highlights, and again, I'll point you to a page, and a lot of the comments that you see that we pull out to talk about are in the commentary itself. So if you want to look at page 10 and 11, we discuss the general fund. These are just a couple of highlights we wanted to point out. First of all, we talked about the 10.5% increase in sales tax this year. Despite that number, which is a positive number, you know, it's probably an additional, you know, $2 million in sales tax revenue this year that we didn't have in 2013, our overall general fund revenues actually decreased. And so it's a good thing we did have that increase. Otherwise, we would have had to make other, you know, other choices. The other revenues outside of sales tax and property tax are not increasing. In fact, some of them are decreasing and some of them may have gone away permanently. So it's a real, a kind of a quandary that we're in. Our revenue growth is really flat. We're kind of leveling out at where we're at. And the increase that we hope to see, or the ability to use those increases in sales tax and property tax to help, you know, support programs that we have within the county, really are just going to replace funds that are going away in other places. And so there's just not a lot of, flexibility in what we're in what we're seeing without making changes within how we're spending the money. So that's something that as we go into this, it's the omnibus, right, Bob? The omnibus that we're really, as a finance team, really looking hard at. How do we, make those choices? Because we don't have an excess in revenues. We're kind of balanced with our revenues and expenses. So how do we address those needs that come up and are surfaced through the budget process? So that's one of the things that we're going to be looking really hard at and coming to you with recommendations and questions about how you want to deal with those specific things. So
what has been falling off, I assume is typical to other counties as well, which is basically what are the main sources, the legal fees and...
Our corrections fees was had a significant decline.
Is that compared to, is that something that's systematic to virtually every other counties?
That one may be unique to our county, the way that we're required to recognize correction fees and how we've been doing it in the past. We needed to make a change, and so it's a much longer discussion than what we'd be able to have time today, but it's something that we corrected internally, and so we've seen probably what I would consider a permanent decrease in how we'll be able to apply the correction fees within the general fund itself. So, and that's just one. There are other areas. Some of these are, for example, the timber fees that we receive. We don't really, they're very flexible depending on what activity is going on. Some years they're better than others. This year wasn't a particularly strong year for timber revenues. And so, it's dropped off. And it's just, there's a lot of variability. Intergovernmental fees, the fees that we see coming in from other governments have dropped off. Fees that we may charge to the cities for different services we provide. They've chosen to go their own way and do, their own thing, and so we're not providing those services any longer. So
I don't think that'd be the case that our expenditures would also be dropping off.
In some cases, that's possible. For example, in corrections, we still have to have the corrections programs, and so there's really not a change in how we do our program, although the revenue that we're able to retain has decreased. So
as you see any deviation or significant changes between contrast between our county and the other counties, I really encourage you to let us know about that. If some of those are within, due to our own changes, our own control, or something we can do to improve that situation, let us know. Because we don't, otherwise, watching the weather without having it.
And
we can control the weather.
Yeah. And we're constantly having those discussions within the finance team. We're constantly looking at the programs, the revenues, the expenses. It's a constant process. In these kind of meetings, we kind of highlight what we're seeing, but we're always looking at those things. And again, just to go through this, what we're looking at, our general fund fund balance. We talked about what we spent. A lot of that has been well documented. We had certain some projects that we wanted to have done. We assigned fund balance in the past for those. Now we've allocated that fund balance from the general fund for those projects. We did, at the end of the year, one of the large multi-agency projects was kicked off. The radio replacement project that CRESA is heading up. We made the expenditure to buy our radios as a group, so we would take advantage of the group pricing, and so that's included in the numbers that will be reported for 2014. So, and a lot of that was anticipated. The radios, we weren't sure how the timing that was going to work because it was so close to year end. Right now we haven't been able to include that within 2014. So.
Yes,
it is included. Here's where our fund balance trends in over the last 6 years. We are within our parameters of our fund balance target, which is $23 million. We recalibrate that because we have a risk-based fund balance target. We recalibrate it. Our 2015 target will be $23 million in unassigned fund balance, and right now we're starting the year right about that. You can see we're slightly above that at the end of the year because of accounting rules. We're required to accrue revenue for 2 months, which comes in, so it puts our fund balance up a little bit. Budget gets a little uneasy when we talk about accruals, so that's really not money we have available to spend. We haven't received it yet, so there's some differences in how we report it and what we actually have available, but it's something that we always have to deal with. So. We want to talk about real quickly, and again, these go back to some of the comments that we have in the report itself. When we look at community development, there's a community development section on page 13, actually 12 and 13, and this just pulls some of the highlights out. We're looking at our land use. And one of the reasons why I guess we break up land use and building, they're such separate activities. Usually the land use activity, when it's high, leads to 2 or 3 years down the road, what actually is getting built. One of the things we found in the recession is that we had a lot of lots that had been planned. I think the inventory is between 5 and 10,000 lots. Now we're starting to see the building on those. We haven't seen the land use activity pick up yet. As those lots are built out, we would expect that at some point we would begin to see the land use activity be happening. We just haven't seen it yet. We did commit from the general fund support, and we made the calculation that land use, anything that they're not able to generate as far as revenue within the land use activity itself, we support through the general fund. The general fund support required for 2014 is $184,000. So that will be coming, and we'll be transferring that over in 2015. We're still looking at the
is there a trend for that somewhere in the book?
I don't know that there's a specific trend. What happened?
The trend graph.
For what specific?
That third dash here after the top one, the land use estimated general fund support. In other words, the general fund supplements feeds the
land use activity.
The land use activity year by year, an annual amount. Mm-hmm. And it would be informative to be able to see over the years how has that changed.
Okay, we can do that. We haven't put a specific graph for that together, but we can put that together. So some years it's not pretty, though, Commissioner.
All of that is the truth.
Some years it's. years ago in the dark days.
Before we leave this page, when I look at community development and I look at, can you hear me okay?
I can.
Okay. So, where is the impact of the fee holiday reflected there? Because I don't see any numbers there that I think would be reflective of that.
Right.
Are we on the wrong slide, or because that would be community development?
The fee holiday that we're is primarily the impacts the building side of the business because it's only on building fees. And yeah, there's two activities within community development: the land use and the building piece of it. We'll have a slide coming up that will show you the building activity itself.
That's all I needed to know. Okay. We haven't seen the slide yet.
Do we have that in?
Thank you.
No.
I apologize. There is a slide. I don't know if it's in here.
Is it in here? In the book?
The particular slide that I'm thinking of, I don't think it's in the book. The slide that I'm thinking of is the one that we showed.
Oh, wait. No, it is. It is. I'm sorry.
Okay. It's coming up.
What if we just conclude there? It may not be in the book, but we're going to have
It's the slide that we created last time that shows the revenues and expenses for the billing activity and the available fund balance.
Yeah.
And I believe it's still coming up.
It is, yeah.
In fact, good. It's next.
Steal your thunder.
The other large funds that have impact or may have potential impact on the general fund, the road fund. Interestingly enough, we did spend down some of the fund balance, although we still have quite a large fund balance. If you look, we had an interesting way that we looked at this year. Their revenues were down about $10 million for the year. And again, some of that is coming from lower impact fees that they collected this year. There's other sources. We usually just think of road fund as like property tax, where property tax provides probably 60 to 70% of their actual revenues. And so there are other things that impact the revenues as well. Their property taxes were about the same as they would have been the previous year, but there are other revenues that impacted their total revenues for the year. And some of that is including the impact fees. The health department, again, their fund balance ended up at $3.1 million. It's lower than last year, $4.1 million, but it's higher than it was 2 years ago, so they kind of keep bumping along where they're at. So we determined that the $3 million is probably an appropriate level of fund balance for the health department, so they're right within that range. So this is the slide I think that you were talking about, and again, historically, we've kind of shortened this down so we'd be able to read it on a slide here. This shows the last 3 years of activity within the building program itself. You can see that the revenues and expenses are the green and red lines. The yellow is what's available as far as fund balance goes. So at the end of the year, the fund balance, it's almost exactly the same. If you look back in 2013 at the end of the year, the November-December time period, it's very close. So what we'll really want to do over the next, I'd say, 3 or 4 months, look to see how it's falling off. Because it's the low time of the year, the season, when the building starts, usually picks up again in the spring. So we'll want to monitor how that happens. It's not quite as high as it was in 2013, so we're down a little bit from 2013, but it is, again, above the zero line, which is good, so they have available fund balance to work off the next 4 to 6 months.
Sure, and Mark, that big yellow line dip or dive in January 13, is that the pulling out the cost for the time market baseline?
Yes, that's exactly what that is. And Councilor Stewart, did this go back to your question that you were asking about the building activity?
It did. Will we have may have some additional questions about that. I'm trying to see in with the fee holiday, mm-hmm. are what is the relationship between when we look at community development as a whole, mm-hmm. and we look at what their resources are, or potentially are, and what their expenses are.
Okay.
So this gives me a very broad picture, but...
Within the revenues and expenses that you see here, that includes... The revenues include the waiver of fees, so we don't count them and then pull them out later. We only count what we actually receive. So the impact of the fee waiver program is included in this, in this fund balance.
I can see that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not in dollar amounts, but I can right. see that that is the effect of the graph.
Correct.
And I see the other significant dip there around May or March to May 14. That was the rebuild of our new permanent center, right?
Actually, that happened earlier. Well, I see the one little dip, like in January, right about January there. That may have been that specifically. The general decline, I think it's normal to see that general decline from the last half of the year to the first half because of the building season itself. You don't have the permits coming in from, say, January through May, so we're spending prior revenues.
Got that. I understand the general decline because of the seasonal
right.
activity variation, but I'm looking in particular at that March 14.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's likely that that's when that.
So those are each one-time expenditures, and I don't know. There's nothing on the horizon that I know of for any significant one-time expenditures that are on the horizon. For the community development. Mark, are you aware of anything?
They do have their sidewalk replacement project, which we'll use.
Which is already accounted for in January 13. They already pulled, already.
Yeah, I think at some point we set aside some fund balance
for
that project, and that may be what that dip is.
Yeah.
That's what the first thing is. One of the things that they've done recently is because of the increase in activity. They have added some staff. The impact of that is probably one of the reasons why we want to continue to watch that is to make sure where the lines cross, or if they cross at all.
Yeah.
And so, again, it's just informational to show you where we're at.
Yeah.
So.
Focus on customer service.
Just to kind of wrap things up here, these, again, highlights. As you go through the commentary, these are things that we wanted to highlight. There's a couple of things, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this page because we're already past workout time.
Am I going to pay for that?
I don't know. I think we talked about community development enough. I did want to give a compliment, I guess, to the fair. In layman's terms, a shout out. Their fair fund, end of the year, with a positive balance, which hasn't happened very often. Now, we have committed to send over the $250,000 annually, and what would happen in the past is we wouldn't do that for 4 years, and then we'd end up sending $1 million. So now that we're doing that regularly, they're able to maintain a positive fund balance. As they go through this year, they will need to go on a line of credit at times because of their spending patterns. But the fact that they were able to end the year with a positive balance is a good indicator that we're putting the right amount of resources in there and their program is working. The fair itself ended up with a $232,000 profit, and that's fully allocated once we've allocated administration. So the other two activities, the event center and the other things like the horse arena and things like that, have just about $200,000 in expenses, in excess expenses. So they're getting closer. So there's progress being made. The next one down, the Exhibit Hall Reserve Fund, 3 or 4 years ago, we were really concerned because of the recession, the revenues going into service this debt would have dropped dramatically. They've recovered now. It looks like the Capital Reserve Fund is liquid, for lack of a better word. We don't anticipate having to use REIT at this point to fund that. We updated the model. It looks like over the next 4 years, with pretty conservative assumptions, we should be able to manage through the debt payments on the exhibit hall. So, and some of that, credit to the treasurer's office, when we've been able to refinance these bonds, it's really helped us in lowering the outflow of cash that we've had to do on these things. So, and this was affected by the refinancing of one of those bonds. So. And again, the comment on the REIT funds, they've recovered. We're looking at, now the best way that we can utilize those. So we'll be bringing that information forward to the council. You see the red ones at the bottom. There's a couple of problem areas that we want to make sure that you're aware of. One, the Clean Water Fund, we did some action on last year. They're still in a deficit situation. They're on the line of credit. We're, working with them to figure out the best way to get them off of that. We're going to be, monitoring that Clean Water Fund to make sure that as those revenues come in and the program expenses that we're matching them. So there's still work to do there, even though we have taken action. So there's, it's just something that you want to be aware of. I don't want someone to come to you and say, did you know that the Clean Water Fund's on line of credit? Okay, I want to be the one that says they're on line of credit. You need to know that they're still working with banks.
Sure. And that action that we took basically changed the amount that was collected on property taxes, on the property tax bill. So
on the property tax bill, not property taxes.
I understand. It's in on them, which means that people pay that April 30 and October 30. So we.
It may take some time for that to pay. Obviously, we had to pay out a settlement, and we're working through that, so it'll take some time to work through that. So.
And but that should be very predictable, because we know our expenditures, and we also know what those bills are to be paid, or should I say what the property tax, what's on the property tax bill, even though it's paid by, it will be expected to receive by April 30. So that intersection of graphs, who's analyzing that? How do we know? How soon we got that line of credit?
I will make that request to the Clean Water Department and get that to us.
That would be very helpful both for the April 30 as well as the October 30.
Yeah.
Great, thanks.
And the last one, Central Support Services, they've the last few years have been on, they've had a negative fund balance, and we've been working with them. They continue to have a negative fund balance, so there's a group, a brain trust, that's going to be putting their heads together and figure out, what exactly we need to do there to right that ship a little bit more. So, again, I just want the counselors to be aware that that's, two of the problem areas that we're currently working on and monitoring. So. Okay. This is just a historic look at that 5093 fund balance. So we're going to be working on this one. So.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's heading in the right direction.
Right.
So when you're working on that, I assume that means the goal is to
right the ship. Yeah. And there's two comments on here. We have some major projects that we're looking at doing. One, the phone replacement, and then facilities major maintenance projects. A lot of times, some of this has gone through the facilities fund. We may want to consider that, at some point, maybe we need to have a major facilities major maintenance fund. There's just some other options that we may need to do. We really need to dissect where this money, what we're spending this on, and how we can better address this.
Understood that we're the assumption was, at least my assumption was, that when we approved the readopt of the budget, or the budget line items, we looked at the major, the facilities improvements that need to be line by line approved, and we approved those, I did so with the assumption that we're going to not be living off the line of credit in the meantime. So it really has to do with timing. And so, Mark and Cully, if you can help us to understand the timing of that, to see what we do to correct that, because maybe it would be just a matter of holding off on some of those things so we can catch up, balance our fund. That would be really good to you to help us with that.
And I don't know that it's, I think there's more things in play than just that, but that's, I mean, one of the things that we can connect.
Some of, and I don't have a photographic memory regarding what facilities projects we approved for 15-16. I don't believe there were many, and I don't believe the dollar amount was significant. I do know that the projects that we have in the queue that weren't funded will require significant resources to undertake, and certainly fixing the deficit in this fund has to be a priority as we go forward.
And again, I know it sounds like a broken record here. One of the things that's contributed to this year in particularly is the accounting rules that we have to accrue expenses before we close our books. And as we get bills in for electricity that were for the prior year, however we received them before we close our books, there was, you know, $200,000 in just utility bills that we ended up having to, you know, pay because they were related to 14. So some of this has to do with, you know, technical accounting issues. That we haven't, you know, been as good at in prior years. So we're trying to be as broadly as we can in getting those accruals done. So.
I think I'm trying to recall too. I thought it was like one or two major heat exchangers or something. Is capital equipment part of that facilities? Part of this?
We're talking the Crescent chillers.
Yeah.
That will not be it will not cost the county money. The Crescent receives money from their supporting jurisdictions.
And that doesn't go through 5093. That wouldn't go through this.
5193.
Yeah, that's. We already have two funds involved. All of the projects that were approved in the budget are in 5193. 5093, which is our major maintenance fund, and that is balanced and has no deficits. I intend to individually brief you on how we got to where we are today in the facilities fund. The facilities fund is strictly a maintenance fund. This is what pays the electric bills, the gas bills, the janitorial, and fixes broken faucets, those types of things. As Mark indicated, there were a certain number of surprises. We did start 13-14 in the hole, but we got billed from the city of Vancouver that was several years late in getting here, which required a prior period adjustment, which doesn't affect the current budget, but does affect the fund balance. So I have the detail of how we got here, and I will definitely brief you on our plan for getting away from here. But it hasn't. The packages you approved in the adopted budget have no impact on this fund.
Well, let me probe a little bit further on that, because this trend has been happening since 2010. And my first inclination would be to believe that our budget should have allocated more to this fund in order to take that trend and fix it, rather than have it continue to be a problem.
And much of the resources that facilities has at their disposal comes through rental agreements and rent-paying customers, Center Community Health, Public Works, et cetera. And so it may be because of cost of utilities and that sort of thing that those rental agreements have to be modernized, brought up to date, so that the rents facilities actually collects are sufficient to meet the needs of the facilities and our tenants.
And my point in highlighting this is so that the councilors are aware that this is an area that, as a finance team, we are addressing, and obviously Bob, our new general service manager, is going to be addressing, so it will be coming back to you, and there may be need to take action. You know, we don't know yet. So, again, in these kind of briefings, we just want to make you aware that these are things where we're currently spending our time, and we'll be coming back to you with other
So you're on it. Okay, great. And I would think because that at this point the meter is running, the water is going down the drain, and we want the sooner we can address this and fix it, turn around, the better, because then we've got some ground to regain.
Yep.
You mentioned also line of credit. We switched from external line of credit to be self-funding line of credit. Which one applies to what you've been indicating so far?
This would be self-funding.
So we've already made that switch, and so we're not paying the bank, paying ourselves.
And I will spend a lot of time on this again. We are almost to the end of our hour, so just at a real high level, we appear to be in certain economic areas. We're kind of plateauing now. We've seen some growth coming out of the recession, which has been good. It's allowed us to do some things to balance our budget and to rebuild our fund balance. We look like we're kind of at a plateau state right now, where we need to kind of reevaluate what we're doing as far as how we're receiving revenues, how we're doing expenses, and we do that constantly as we go along anyway. So we talked about what we spent this last year over the last 2 years as a biennium on a major project, which is good. That helps relieve some of the pent up demand we have for some of those large one time projects. We will have other needs that resurface that we'll be addressing, beginning with the omnibus coming up in a couple months. So, and that's really kind of where we're at. We will end the year within our at our fund balance target, which is always good news. That means we did a good job of planning, good job of budgeting, and are ending up where we hope to end up at the end of the biennium. So.
Okay, those magic words, that's where we are at. Well, here's what I hope to do very well. First of all, thank you very much for that presentation and all that's gone into this. What I hope to be able to do is to work with you, Mark, and ask for to walk along through your PowerPoint and some of these key points and ask you for trend graphs, for multi-year trend graphs for each of these parameters that you've included in the overview here. So that we can really see where we are at over a long period of time and these key parameters. And hopefully that will let you know if that's going to be a difficult task. Your software will hopefully make life work with it. We can post those graphs on the grid because this is the report of the wrap up of the whole year, 2014. And I would assume if we're ever going to have a longer term perspective of the major indicators, this would be the appropriate time.
Sure. And we can do that specifically. There are other reports that we provide, like a trends report, which actually shows 10 years of history. And I think
that's
I've referred you to that in the past, and I think I had the opportunity to talk to Councillor Stewart about the trends report. And it doesn't have all of these specifically, but some of that information is included in there as well. So there are lots of resources out there, and so I'll just make sure that counselors, up to speed on where all that information is.
Great, and I hope you have our citizens up to speed on that too. That's why I want to post this on the grid. Thank you. Does that wrap up?
Yes.
I have no other questions or comments. Do we need a formal adjournment?
No. So, okay, we're wrapped up. Thank you very much.
Yep. Thank you.